This is As You Wish Talk Radio with Carol Haywood this evening, filling in for James Gilliland. I know some of you have heard me on James's show before, and I've been at the ranch quite a bit, and James and I work together. And tonight, James is a keynote speaker at the Northwest Association of Dowsers Conference in Hood River, Oregon, and he is speaking right now, so he asked me to fill in for him, and I was happy to do that because there is lots of good stuff going on, and I'm always happy to share with others my perspective and the news of what's happening on the planet. Many of you already know that I do have an open third eye, and I get information about what's happening in the evolutionary front lines on the planet, and have been a big proponent of sustainability and just being pro-creative in creating our preferred future on the planet. And just to fill you in a little bit about the latest of what's happening, and of course, everybody listening into this, I know, feels the shifts that are going on in a very big way. There are new energies coming in that are dismantling old patterns, and that's what I'm seeing just constantly in my inner vision and when I tune in to the frequencies that are coming through. I'm actually watching this process. A variety of modalities are coming through that are breaking up the structures that were created during the previous cycle, the structures that were created by ego minds that were wandering in the dark. And these structures no longer serve us, and the energy is being depleted from them. The plug is being pulled from them. Sometimes I see what looks like little creatures that are actually taking down the materials and allowing things to collapse. Sometimes I see this sort of superheated waves of energy going through that are melting the old structures. And sometimes I see a very fluid-looking river that is taking out the debris. And it's just a massive process that's going on right now that is totally freeing up all of the energies that have been stuck in these old patterns, these old structures, the old consciousness, the old paradigms, the old belief systems that have tied up so much of our energy and have kept us in limitation. And right now, this is very exciting that this material is being freed up. It's being taken out of the old molds. And it's being combined with new energies that are coming through on new higher frequencies that are new, finely tuned so that they are getting through the spaces and they are becoming, they're taking on the old energies that are being freed up and working with them to flow into new possibilities. Now, this is where we come in. This is an incredible time of opportunity for us because of these new energies that are being released. They are being free to flow into new forms. They need our thought forms to take on the forms that we are co-creating right now. Right now, there's still quite a hodgepodge of thoughts on the planet. We're in a major transition between the old structure and the new. We are moving towards the new cycle, but we're still in the transition where both extremes still are very much involved in the thought forms that are creating our reality. So we have this opportunity to guide this new energy into new positive thought forms that we can see the world the way we want it to be instead of getting caught up in the collapse and the change and the negative energies of those that have had power over others and the negative agendas of governments and New World Order and those who have had power over others for a long time and don't want to give it up. But their gig is up. The plug is being pulled. Rather than putting energy into that, rather than going into fear around what's going on, and there's a lot going on, the swine flu stuff, the control issues, the economy, the so-called global currency that's in the wind. All of this stuff is being broken up. All of that energy is being broken up. Now we have the opportunity, rather than giving into that scenario, we need to allow the energies to flow into a new positive agenda, a new positive way where love prevails, where we live in harmony with Mother Earth, where we live in harmony with each other, where our consciousness is connected directly to Source. And we know unlimited possibility. We know what we have to work with. We're coming out of a time where we've been wandering around in the dark and we didn't know what resources we had to deal with. So we now are awakening, connecting to Source, and the unlimited possibilities are presenting themselves. So now we can take this energy that has been freed up by this dismantling process, and it's kind of like taking little tiny pieces of particles and throwing them up in the air, and then we determine how they come down, what shape they take as they come down, as things start to reform in this new cycle. We and our positive thought forms can move things in the direction of how we want things to be. So this is a very powerful time. This is a very positive responsibility that we have to co-create our preferred future instead of giving in to the fear and despair around what is being dismantling and collapsing. Let's let it go. It doesn't work anymore. It's obsolete. Let's let it go and allow our new positive thought forms to flow in to this beautiful Mother Earth reality that can be a very idyllic, loving place and where harmony, peace, and just a co-creative with Mother Earth as she adapts to her own changes and we adapt with her, it can be a very peaceful and beautiful and harmonious experience. And we are coming through with new tools all the time. We are getting information about new tools that are helping us to adjust to these new frequencies, that are helping us to use the new frequencies and to access the new frequencies for our own growth, for our own self-empowerment. And I know James is tonight speaking at the Dowsers Association in Hood River. And over this last weekend, there was a conference, the Canadian Society of Questers had their annual fall conference. And I have been a Canadian Society of Questers member for many years now. I call them kind of Questers Without Borders because there are many Americans that take part. It's a great society. The Dowsers, the Questers are a society based on their common interest in dowsing. And most people know of dowsing as, you know, water witching and using pendulums and so forth. But the societies are now interested, they have a common interest in the exploration of subtle energies, which of course includes a very broad range of subjects, including anything metaphysical and spiritual in nature. And so the conferences are great. They cover a wide range of subjects. There are some great high quality presenters. And at this last one, we had James Gilliland was one of the keynote speakers. Michal Ledwith, awesome speaker. In fact, James played an archive of him last week with Michal Ledwith as he was speaking at the conference. And we had some very great presenters and the great people, and we were all learning about new tools that we can have in the way of opening our hearts and accessing higher consciousness, accessing the superconscious, as Dr. Ledwith taught us. And James's presentation was very well received. He had the photos of the orbs, and he had the great photos of that they took in the field when Khan, the Qigong teacher, was at the ranch. Great photos, great interest from the questers in that. And then there was a night watch that we actually all went out to. And when we first went out, the skies had been, there were a lot of chemtrails that they had sprayed right before we went out. But again, with the use of positive intention, we got the skies to clear up. And so we saw some ships, and people were taking photographs, and not only got orbs, but we got light beings. We got lights coming out of people's heads, and lots of beautiful energy that was being picked up by the cameras, and people really having a very positive experience. So the whole weekend was full of positive exchange, getting tools from each other, from the speakers, and was a very encouraging time of knowing and learning what we have to work with in these very exciting times. And I know Tom Duke, who has been a friend of mine for many years, a very talented artist and very dedicated to studies of the Native American ways, and has been a flute maker and a flute player, and very interested in energy work. He was also a part of the weekend. And most people have heard James talk about the Kunlun classes that have been going on at the ranch. And Kunlun is gaining in popularity because of the way that it allows us to connect to Source quite efficiently and easily, and cut through very quickly into that divine connection. And we have Tom here tonight. Hello, Tom. Tom, are you there? Well, we hope to have Tom. Anyway, I will carry on for a moment. We have Tom. Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Okay, I'm here. Here we go. All right. I was just talking about the Kunlun classes that have been going on at the ranch, and how James has been, when he's at conferences and so forth, he will demonstrate some very simple Kunlun techniques that seem to have a pretty big effect on people, and are very instrumental in opening people up and connecting to some pretty powerful spiritual resources. And I was just introducing you and gave you a good intro, and now I wanted to talk to you and perhaps share about what you experienced with James when he was working with you with the Kunlun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If I may, I'd like to put a little preface on this thing.
Yeah, sure.
When I went up to the conference, I basically went up with the intention that I was going to be in full abundance. And in truth and honesty, I probably really didn't understand what that all meant. And when I arrived at the conference, you know, everybody is, as they always are, just beautiful people. And my heart was really happy and just full of life at that point in time.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. And so Friday, when I was working, setting things up and stuff, and a little bit later on, James said, well, I have this technique I'd like you to try. And I went, sure, why not? And he said, well, sit over here in this chair. And I did. And he said, well, raise your feet a little bit off the ground. And I did. So your heels aren't sitting on it. And he said, okay, now just relax and put your right hand over your left hand in a ball shape in front of you. And just feel that energy and just be with that energy. And so I did. I just kind of sat there and all of a sudden I felt this rocking motion starting to hit me. And from someplace, I don't have a clue of where it was, I just started this belly laugh. And it was huge. It was a beautiful release. I mean, it just came from the tips of my toes and it just ripped through me. And I guess it affected everybody in the room because everybody's giggling and laughing and just having a great time. And it's really a heart opening experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shifted me to a place that I haven't been in a long time.
Mm.
And the result of that is yeah, there was abundance for the weekend. But there has been absolute abundance since then.
Mm.
People have been coming out of the woodwork. They've been asking me to follow up on stuff that they had talked about, you know, 8-9 months ago, and it just had gone under the carpet. And, oh, by the way, can you have it done tomorrow? Which is physically impossible, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the process of building out new classes and workshops, and I'm working with 3 other people to help build a flute making class and actually come up with all the materials to do that so other people can go out and do what we're doing without putting all of the heavy, hard effort into it. So,
great.
You know, from when I started Thursday heading up there to where I am now, I would say I've shifted probably a full 180 degrees from where I was.
Wow. Wow.
I have a roommate that is going to be moving out in mid-October to be with another friend of hers that's moving up from California. And she just couldn't believe it. She said, you know, I have never seen you in this. I've never seen you like this, never. And she's seen me in some pretty good space because I've been up in some conferences up in Caldwell and stuff like that. But she just, and my whole demeanor shifted. I don't look for fault. I don't look for anything like that anymore. I don't care about the bad news. I care about things like are happening in Samoa and stuff like that. But the wars don't matter to me anymore. You know, if that's
right.
What they need, that's what they need. If I can be of service, though, that's what it's about.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
been a huge shift in that direction. I mean, I'm walking a whole new path. It's just amazing.
Wow. And so, can you share where you feel that comes from? Was it the Kunlun? Was it a combination of things? Where do you feel that culminates from?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. Yes,
mm-hmm.
But I really believe that the Kunlun actually affected the process.
Uh huh.
You know, I really believe, I mean, it released something in me that I never expected.
Okay.
Never expected it.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of other things that went on that weekend.
Yes.
but part and parcel.
That perhaps those other things wouldn't have happened the way they did if you hadn't had that opening with the Kunlun.
You know, that happened before then.
Right.
Okay, that happened before then. But I don't think where everything is now, in this stage of my life, with me being able to address things the way I do now, I don't think that would have happened.
Right, yeah. Well, to me, what I hear you describing is kind of like kind of connecting and then having the energy just blow through and blow out anything that's not in alignment with who you are and not in alignment with the power of love.
Perfect description.
And so it really connects you with a divine source that is not just a sort of mountaintop experience, but sort of like staying plugged in to to that source.
Right.
And we're certainly not saying that Kunlun is the only way to do that. However, I have seen seen several people's experience with it, and it does seem to have that effect of very efficiently and very powerfully just kind of blast through limitations and opens up our divine connection. And then that's a very unique thing to each individual. That our divine connection is very unique. And as I have been teaching and have been encouraging everyone else to share, is rather than looking outside of ourselves for any guidance or answers for our, that we need to turn within and find our own connection and our own answers for our own unique path.
And that's absolutely true. I mean, there's a couple of things that have come up in the last 48 hours, and it's paused for some heavy reflection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this who I am? Is this what I'm about? Is this what I truly want in my life? What are the drawbacks and all the rest of that? And you know, I'm finding it's easier to stay in my heart.
Mm.
I'm finding it a lot easier to stay in my heart.
Yes.
And when I'm there, you know, the garbage doesn't matter.
Right. Yes. And also, you know, it's like, you know, the don't sweat the small stuff, but it's also, I think when we're in our hearts, we truly want to serve. And it comes from a sincere desire, not from something we feel we should do. And that's a big difference of when our heart is open, that we are truly seeking to serve. And therefore, when our service orientation becomes a focus in our life, and everything else, all the mental stuff, all the ego stuff, falls away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm
really noticing that. I mean, the other three gentlemen I have in this workshop to build flutes, the honesty and for me in it is I can only teach them what I know. The rest is all discovery.
Right.
You know, and we're all willing to just do that.
Yes. That's it. That you maybe perhaps start by sharing what this has been for you, but people cannot follow exactly in your footsteps. They need to follow and discover themselves. And I think that's the same thing with the Kunlun, is that the Kunlun opens a door to this divine connection, which then you continue on in your own discovery.
This is
the same thing that's happening with your flute. Now, do you want to let people know how they might be able to get in touch with you if they're interested in finding out more about flutes and making flutes and
oh, absolutely, yeah, and I'm putting on some workshops for flutes. I just developed a new program called Creating Music from the Heart, which anybody in fact, I did it this weekend. I taught a bunch of people how to play in less than a half hour. They're all happier than heck, and they've all emailed me, and they're all having a ball, and, you know, it's just beautiful. But, yeah, my website is www.td, that's in Tom Duke, flutes, FLUTES.com, and you can get me at tom@tdflutes.com. And my website has some of the stuff on it. I'll be updating it here shortly with more information. I'm going to have two workshops in October that I'm planning on right now, and I also teach lessons. So if somebody wants to learn to play the flute, I'd be more than happy to teach them what I know. I'm not 100%, but I can teach them what I know,
that
and they'll have fun.
You're a good teacher for opening the door to their own discovery.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's what the flute's about. You know, everybody worries, but there's no wrong flute and wrong note on a flute.
Right, exactly, and it's beautiful, and I know I've heard some of the people that you've taught, and in a short time, they really do sound pretty good, and it's kind of amazing. Yeah, so.
Well, when you're having fun,
yeah,
it's easy.
Yes, exactly. So just don't do it at 7 in the morning. When.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that we've Tom and I are joking because we've done some residential workshops down in Jalapa, Mexico, and I'll put in a little plug for those too because I know Tom has some workshops coming up and I have some workshops coming up. Jalapa, Mexico is a very special place. There's no roads or cars. It's a beautiful bay within a bay. It's an hour water taxi from Puerto Vallarta. And we do some very wonderful creativity, sustainability, and Tom's going to do some flute workshops, and you're going to do a drumming workshop, and I will have these things posted on my website, which is www.passionatepinky.com. That's passionatepinky, PINKY.com. And I'll have the flyers and notices up. I have one that's I'm calling Sustainability, Creativity, and Raw Food and Fun in Paradise, which will be the first week in December. And I know Tom is planning on doing some flute ones, and it's a great place to come and relax and connect and be creative and learn new things.
So, if I may, I'd like to put in a quick plug for that.
Yes.
Anybody who's attending the flute workshop, it'll be about creating music, okay?
Right.
But it's going to be, one of them is going to be out on the islands, in the Marianas Islands, and one will be at a waterfall, and one's going to be in the forest. So what I want people to do is experience all of these things that God has to offer.
Lovely. Yeah.
And make that a part of your life.
Yes. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing I know that we all are experiencing is as we get connected more and more, we stay in that sort of plugged in place where we are, where we're in the moment and in the flow and in our hearts, and it becomes more and more a way of life, more and more a state of being, that it's not something we're in and out of. And as we are staying plugged in, we are becoming more and more sensitive to the world of subtle energies. We are picking up more in the way of feeling of what's coming or the energies that are coming through, or working with energy work, with healing, and actually being able to tangibly feel and pick up some signals and some vibrations and some communication. And that also what's happening is the veils. Okay, so we were talking about as we are connecting to divine source, we are becoming more sensitive to feeling the energies and to feeling the signals and to picking up the vibrations and to use these energies in our healing work, in healing with ourselves, with each other, with the planet, and to really tangibly access and feel these energies in a way that puts us in a whole different place of experience, so that this experience becomes more and more tangible, so that it's not something that we're just believing in, but we're actually experiencing. And like I said, the veils between the dimensions are becoming thinner so that we can have more interaction with beings from other dimensions. Like the photos that they're getting at the Aseti Sanctuary, the photos of beings that are coming to visit, that we can see them, we can feel them, and we can pick up vibrations. And I know that over the weekend that that James was sharing that he was feeling the vibration of an earthquake coming, and he said to some people that he felt like it was going to be coming within 3 days. And of course, we all know that there was, you know, two very large earthquakes that came within that period. And then he was also sharing with Susan Brodzinski, who was also a presenter at the Questor conference in Canada at Salmon Arm. And we want to bring her on board this evening to be able to share some of what she was experiencing and some of the vibrations that she was picking up. And Susan is a Reiki practitioner, and she practices homeopathy. She's a Qigong instructor. She recently completed her training in the Reconnection, which is a new healing modality book by Dr. Eric Pearl. And so she did a great little workshop at the conference. It was very well received. And she is very sensitive to energies, does a lot of energy work, and I'm hoping that she's on board here to welcome her tonight.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi, Susan. Good to hear your voice.
Hi.
All right. So we were just talking about how as we become more and more connected to Source, how we become more sensitive and more able to feel energies and to feel the vibrations and to work with these higher frequencies and to pick up the signals that are in the energetic fields, and how James was able to feel that there was earthquake coming, and he was sharing with you, and you had a similar experience where you had a premonition. So would you share with us about that?
Yeah, it was on the Monday just past, and Tom and I went for a walk out by the water. I was very drawn to get outside. We'd been indoors for a number of days during the sessions, and felt a very strong sense to go outside and just to walk and be peaceful and be with nature. And as I was doing that, the sense was coming to me that there definitely were some earthquakes in the works, very much a felt sense. And when you mentioned it's about the feel, you're totally bang on, because if we don't, through paying attention to our felt sense, if we don't get used to tuning into that level, we're going to miss these subtle signals. And the more that we pay attention to them, the more that we do recognize not only the sensations, but we also will get the intuitive information as to what those sensations are indicating.
Great, yeah. So you definitely couldn't. Can you describe what it is that you feel when these come on?
Well, at first I was feeling a sense of dis-ease or dissonance, that there was something that wasn't, that was trying to come through that I wasn't hearing or noticing. So that was simply my indicator to drop into silence and to simply be and to feel without any mental activity getting in the way. And as I did that, there was a sense of peace that came, a sense of expansiveness that came, a sense of connectedness that came. And it was in that space of feeling connected and open that then the insights came, and it was much more of a sense of knowing than it was one of feeling at that particular point, when it became apparent that the earth is going through a kundalini awakening of its own, and that one of the ways that this is manifesting physically is through the earth moving, through these earth tremors, as the physicality of the earth is moving and adjusting to accommodate the new energies that are moving through.
Right, yes, yeah, that's an excellent description of what's happening. And what I was talking about at the beginning of this show, having to do with how these new energies are coming through and breaking up old patterns and dismantling some of the old structures, and that these energies are now available for us to have flow into more positive thought forms, we still need to work within the framework of what is happening on the planet. Because there's basically two major things going on. We have the raising of consciousness and connecting into source and to realizing our potential of who we really are as divine beings. But at the same time, we have Earth going through a major cyclical change of a huge magnitude.
Exactly. So when we come here to this realm to be part of this whole process, and this whole enlightenment business, a lot of people seem to have this notion of, you know, escape and transcend and so on. But to simply get to the top of the mountain and then stay there, that's only half the story. I mean, the other half is to come back down the mountain again. And not that you lose anything in doing so. Once you know who you are, you know who you are. But then from there, moving back into the world, into the physicality, and then having that complete oneness with all of manifestation, whereby you are completely in sync with the movements as they're happening within creation, and being guided as to how and where to move, and do and be without the intellect having to judge that or figure that out.
Yes. Oh, that's very well said. I like that description, because it's something that, like you said, it's not just the guru on the mountaintop or in the cave.
No.
that we are challenged to actually be this energy on the planet now.
We're challenged to fully embody it.
Yes.
And to move in physicality, fully embodying these energies.
Yes, yes, yes. And that it is so different than our minds have perceived in the aspect of separation.
Yes.
That our mind has only been able to perceive the energies as being separate than who we are, and that we
can not.
But they're not at all. That we are actually, we are the energies, and the energies are us, and that this connection that is happening and this realization that's coming to basically our higher mind, is a bit challenging to our ego mind to release its control and to work with that higher consciousness to still be a cohesive team. It's not like you have to kill the mind, you know, kind of thing.
No, not at all. You see, the mind is an extremely powerful tool, and it makes a wonderful servant, but it makes a horrendous master.
Right.
I mean, you're basically asking this amazing biocomputer to tell you, you know, what is life? And, you know, it just doesn't compute.
Right.
It has amazing capacities, but it also has its limitations. And awakening is to transcend identification with the mind and recognize that which you are is far greater than the mind or the emotions or the body, and that all of these are actually manifestations within the spacious consciousness that you are.
Yes. Yeah, that's again, very well put, and very empowering to be able to see and discover who we are and what we have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And that things,
totally.
The modalities that you are teaching and practicing are self-empowerment tools.
Mm-hmm. The ego can hear that, and the ego can go, oh great, you know, give it to me. But this is so transcendent of the ego. It's a complete getting out of the way and recognizing that which you are is the ultimate empowerment, but it's completely not of me as as we traditionally think of me in terms of the persona and the ego.
Right, right. And it's actually, you know, it is kind of tricky having to do with that because it is so incredibly powerful and there is so
mm-hmm.
much that can be done from that place that the ego can have a tendency to kind of want to come in and say, look what I did.
This is one of the huge traps on the spiritual path is that the ego will come in and it will assert the spiritual gains that have been made, and it, you know, you get these spiritual egos, you see them where people have some spiritual awakenings and the ego just comes on in and claims territory and you've got a monster on your hand.
Yes, and that's why our own discernment around what is truth and what is our own truth is also a very powerful tool.
Well, you see, you have to want truth. You have to want the truth of who you are more than you want to placate your ego, more than you want to be a somebody, more than you want the survival of your being. You have to want truth more than anything.
Right.
Because anything that's in the way of your recognition of the divinity that you are must be seen through. So if you're grasping at something less than what you are, you're not going to see past it.
Yeah, boy, that is so true, and that's why so many of us still have these moments of wandering in the dark and being deceived by what our ego mind is telling us is the truth.
Yes.
And yet it's just kind of leading us down a path that is self-deception.
And ultimately the suffering will increase as a result of that, and that will ultimately be the wake-up call that you eventually hear and that will say, you know, this hurts. Do I really want to keep going in this direction?
Right, right, exactly, exactly.
So you know, we look at suffering as a bugaboo, as a thing to get rid of, where in fact, if it weren't for suffering, most of us would never wake up because we would never be motivated.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I have seen pain as a beautiful teacher, and a beautiful way to learn of what we need to let go of and what we need to pay
mm-hmm.
attention to. And if we can remove judgment and the idea of good or bad, then it can become just another experience that
mm-hmm.
teaches us as we go.
And once you recognize you are that which is aware of everything that arises, all of a sudden there isn't this huge personal issue with what shows up.
Right, right. You're not attached to it, and it's
not like
it's not like bad me. You know,
it's
something like, oh, okay, here's another lesson, and I can
mm-hmm.
learn from this, and I can, and that really again boils down to self-love.
Yeah.
In that when we truly have opened our hearts to self-love, we are opening ourselves for any lessons that
mm-hmm.
will help our souls evolve and help
mm-hmm.
us learn who we are and what we have access to.
And that's when we begin to realize that the universe is very loving and
yes.
that the lessons that do show up are not to punish us. They are simply to help us see the truth, help awaken us to the truth of what we are.
Right, right, right. Yes, yes. And that is such a beautiful experience. It's I know I've equated it quite a bit to the birthing process.
Very much.
We go through some pain in getting through the restrictions and the limitations that our mind had created during this previous phase,
mm-hmm.
and that to get through that, we have those sort of growing pains and the birthing pains, but then when we do get beyond it and we see our unlimited potential, and we can feel of what we have access to through our open hearts and through the power
mm-hmm.
of love and through the
mm-hmm.
the through connecting to source.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's enormous. And, you know, back to these earth changes, very much so, it's like a birthing. And, you know, if you would take the perspective for the moment of the child still in the womb and all of these contractions are happening and all of a sudden the child is feeling the discomfort of the contractions and, you know, it could be from the child's perspective a very traumatic event, and yet from everybody on the outside world cheering and happy to see
mm-hmm.
the new life that's being born.
Right.
So
right.
from the same perspective, as we're going through these earth changes and we're all seeing the destructive aspect of the seemingly destructive aspect of these changes, and we're all concerned over that, and yet from the perspective of the other side of this equation, there's a huge celebration as this shift is occurring.
Yes, so much so that there is starting to be more and more of a recognition around the way these old systems don't work anymore, and
mm-hmm.
that even though it's somewhat traumatic to have them collapse and fall around our ankles, that the potential of what is coming is so hopeful and so
mm-hmm.
positive
mm-hmm.
that there is more and more of a shift in that direction. And that mm-hmm. to me is very encouraging.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything that's not in alignment with light and love and truth has to fall.
Right.
Or shift. I mean, shift or fall, you know, it's a pretty straightforward choice.
Right, yeah. I've seen that very clearly, but what also is encouraging to me is that it feels like more and more people are awakening to this.
Yes.
And that the shift in consciousness, it's like the band of mass consciousness that surrounds the planet,
mm-hmm.
has been very ego, mind, power
mm-hmm.
over others, greed. That whole scenario has
yeah.
been what has been very dominant for, you know, a very long time. And
yeah.
what I am feeling as more and more people are awakening to this higher consciousness, the potential of divine resource, the power of open heart and love, that there is definitely a very tangible, almost physical aspect of this lifting of the mass consciousness
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
based on that.
And this
that.
Is where, yeah. So there's a lot of potential for teachers who are able to access the felt sense, because so many of us live in our heads.
Yes.
And it's getting into the actual amazing biocomputer these bodies are, that are so ultra sensitive that
yes.
will give us all the information that we need.
Right, right. Yes, yes. And that is what the information that I received is very, very similar to what you're saying, is that as Earth goes through this transition, that yes, there is an aspect of it that seems traumatic and catastrophic, that as we become more and more connected to Mother Earth and receive the signals from her and open the communication between us and her, that we will be taught how to adapt to
yeah.
these conditions of her changing times.
It's very, you know, for some it may look very much like an act of faith where we let go of the domination of mind identification. We let go of the egoic agendas. We align ourselves with love and truth, and then open ourselves up to the divine guidance that will come through.
Right.
But for many, it can look like an enormous leap of faith, because you're often not given the information for more than the step that you're in the middle of taking right now.
Right.
And the next step will not be seen until you've already taken this one. So it's continuously this continuous walk into the face of the unknown and the discovery of the new and the unknown in every moment. And the
yeah.
mind wants control. It doesn't like this.
That's for sure. I know, and it is. I know exactly what you're saying with this leap of faith thing, because in order to access the adaptive power of the universe, it is truly one step at a time.
Yep.
Because we have free will and we have choice, so it cannot predict where we're going to go with the next step. So it can only it can only guide us one step at a time. And I've described it sort of like doing a board game, and you're walking along the paths of a game, and you can only know where to step after you're in one step. The next one will light up. But the next one doesn't light up until you're in the step before it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, humans love this, because why else do we do things like skiing and snowboarding and surfing and so on? Those are all activities that require you to be extremely present, extremely sensitive to the moment, and extremely responsive to however the currents are moving you in that exact moment.
Right.
We love being in that zone.
Right. Right.
This is living in that zone. This is living on the edge of that wave, as the wave is moving with you and under you and through you, and continuously being sensitive and responding as if you're in this amazing dance with these energies of life.
Right, right.
Except that you're not leading, you're following.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's where that sensitivity comes in.
It's the divine dance. And if you're not ready to follow that, follow that lead, you're not going to be there.
Right, and that's where you can then feel the signal and have the opportunity to respond in exactly the right timing, and then the next moment you get the signal and you respond, and it is the dance, and it is...
And one way I found to help guide people in how to tune into this is... If you're asking, well, what should I do and what's right for me? Well, that's putting the energy on the level of the ego again and of the persona. But if you're asking the question in the respect from the perspective of the whole, from the perspective of the divine, and you're asking, where is the resonance? Where is life flowing? Where is the yes? How am I feeling guided in this moment to move for the greatest good? Those kinds of questions open you up to the bigger picture. And that's how you're going to sense these currents.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And
where's your perspective? Is it in the egoic questions of me, me, me? What do I do? What's right for me? How do I solve my problems? Or is it from the perspective of the whole? How may I serve?
Yes.
And then feel for the resonance.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Again, you said it so well, that it's something that we are all experiencing and have had our frustrations with, as the ego mind keeps stepping in. But when we are in that moment and in that bigger perspective, in that where can I best serve, and to stay in that connected place where we do feel those signals and we do get the guidance that takes us moment to moment in our positive preferred future based on our heart's desires.
So, you know, for people to stop long enough from their busy schedules and ask themselves at the deepest level, what do I truly want in this life? What really matters to me?
Right.
What is my bottom line that I will not sell out for anything? I won't take anything else but this. What is my bottom line in this life?
Right.
Because until you know where you're aiming, how are you going to know if you're going there?
Yes, exactly. And that's such an important exercise and discovery process to allow yourself the energy and the time and the place and opportunity to do that sort of discovery. To be able to find your passion and what is most important.
I mean, there are many, many things that point to this. And one is, you know, if you do not know which harbor you're headed for, there's no wind that is the right one.
Right, right. Yes, yeah, I like that.
But if you do know which harbor you're headed for, then you might be able to discern which wind to follow.
Right, yes, yeah. And
so finding out what really is your bottom line, what am I in this lifetime, what am I about in this lifetime? And then perhaps you can determine the direction to go in. And then you can see how you can serve that.
Yes. Well, the time has flown by, and we are out of time. We could talk about this for a long time, so hopefully James will let us back and do it again. So,
that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Tom, are you still here?
I am here. I've just been beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you both. Thank you both so much for being a part of this great program tonight. And it's full moon, so go out and look at the skies and look for those extraterrestrial brothers and sisters and howl at the moon. So, so peace, love to everybody. Have a wonderful night, and thanks for listening. Bye, all.
Bye-bye.